which has nothing to do with the word jubilee yet, but we will conclude it with it because we have learned to walk in this manner and we have learned to live in this manner and we have accepted that as the Lord speaks, so shall it be. How many believe that? How many believe as the Lord speaks, so shall it be? If you don't know this, those are the words of Jesus' mother Mary said to them at the wedding of Cana, the first miracle, that whatever he says, do it. Come on, because as he speaks, we live. Oh, help me here, Holy Spirit. So I'm not going to try to offend you, but I'm used to offenses coming when it comes to the Word of God. But I don't apologize for the Word of God. I apologize only if I give you my own interpretation. And I'm one that's going to tell you today when I start where we're at, especially with the title of Jubilee. If you don't know what Jubilee stood for in the prior covenant, I broke it down for you. This is for the believers today. Say believers. It's not for the world. Come on. This is for those that have accepted Christ, his salvation plan, that what God has delivered, as he did for the Israelites. Today we are the Israelites in the new covenant. We have not replaced Israel, but we have now been adopted with Israel into the things of God. Say the things of God. And you have to understand about the things of God. He'll take you from rags to riches. No, you didn't catch that. He'll take you from the bottom to put you on top. Come on. He brings you up from the bottom of the miry clay to lift you up. Most people won't understand that, but that's okay. So this word is for us. Say us. Who is us? His church. Say his church. Come on. So the word jubilee is interpreted to liberation. We just sang the song, freedom is where? How many of you feel free? No. How many of you feel free? If you're in freedom, you shouldn't be carrying a ball and chain with you. But how often that you don't realize you're carrying a ball and chain? Because how many don't realize that the spirit of fear is alive and fights you? And if you don't know the spirit of fear, it has 1,000 definitions. It has about 500 umbrellas that sit under it. And it comes and we must fight it daily because it's not from God. And how many know that when it's not from God, it's coming against God's people? Everything's twisted. Come on. Everything gets twisted. And the way he operates is to twist us. Say us. He twists the word of God. He did it to Eve. He continues to do it today. And what does he do that for? To take away what you are promised to receive. Come on, say amen. How many know we haven't made heaven our home yet? We're still here. Say here. We're still in this world, but we're not of this world. Well, tell that to the church. You're in this world, but you're not of the world. But they'll fight you on that. What does that really mean to us? I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. Well, we covered some of it last week. We talked about the wisdom. We talked about what the victories of Almighty God was and through the prior covenant to the now covenant. We like to say that Jesus is what? With us. No, he's in us. Oh, help me here, Jesus. His spirit lives within us. Come on, say amen. So it also means restoration. How many know we're right now? Come on, Holy Spirit. Help me here. I drive this, I command, let me tell you right now. Bow your heads. Satan, get out of here. You have no right. See, some of you don't even recognize me. He's sitting right next to you. So get out in the name of Jesus. We take this authority and you should say, amen. But you don't believe that exists, but he was sitting right next to you, disturbing you. And so our duty, our job as a position, as a watchman, is to pray. Come on, say amen. Right now, we're praying for our family right down the street, right? They're fighting a mold issue. They're fighting something that is not from God. They're fighting something because the enemy wants to disturb what God is doing in our lives. Say amen, somebody. This man goes out to protect the city of Ontario. Come on. That's his duty, right? The man is called by God to be a peacekeeper, a peacemaker. And so anytime he walks out that door, it may be his last time, because we're home being protected, but he's going out to make sure the protection exists. Most of us don't like them. Oh, you should have said amen, but you're afraid to say amen. But God already knows your heart, because you like to say, God knows my heart. He sure does. You're not going to tell him something he doesn't know. You're not going to tell him something that he doesn't realize has existed and does exist in us. So in the word of Jubilee, liberation and restoration, it also means rest. But you know what the final one is? Trusting God. How many trust God this morning? How many are trusting God this morning? Are you afraid to say amen? Because if you are, then you know that's the spirit of fear. Hello? And the spirit doesn't mean I'm afraid. It has so many interpretations when it comes to definitions of the spirit of fear. And it brings so much chaos into our lives. And this is why the Lord had to say it. I didn't give you that. Come on. I came to rescue you from that. So in the term of Jubilee, which comes from the book of Leviticus all the way to the New Covenant in a daily lifestyle, now say daily lifestyle, and we explained a little bit of it. And so I know that today, well, we got to come to the place to realize, to understand rest, understand our true trust. Come on. I was watching one of my mentors, Jimmy Swaggart. Don't put him down. He's home with Jesus now. Don't put him down. Come on. Did he fail? Absolutely he failed. So you without sin, cast your first stone. Come on. Jesus covers a lot because when nobody's watching, he's watching. When you're in your car alone or you're home alone or on your way to wherever you're at, must go, job, work, doing jobs, school, market, doctors, anything that comes with lifestyle, he's watching when you're alone, because that's what counts. Integrity is doing what you do when nobody's watching. Come on, say amen. Or especially when nobody's around here. Okay, pastor's not here. Don't worry about pastor hearing you, what you say and how you talk. Don't worry about your mouth. Come on, say amen. Don't worry about me. Be concerned with the one who watches. What do you mean? He's never going to leave you, so guess who's next to you? Come on, he's watching every step we make. So in this time of what we call Jubilee, because we're about to celebrate Pentecost, it's 50 days after the resurrection that came. Come on. 50 days from April 5th now is going to be on May 24th, Pentecost. Pentecost represented the day of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Oh, so if you read the Bible, King James says Holy Ghost. So don't be afraid to say Holy Ghost. And then it'll also say Holy Spirit. It's all right. Ghost, Spirit, Ghost. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you understand it. So here we're about to enter Pentecost, and that's the weekend that we're going to have our celebration here. Come on, say amen. We're going to have Rabbi here, right? Spirit. He's going to stay with us to have fellowship so you can nail him with questions. But you better be ready for the right answer, because they studied 4,000 years before us. Come on, say amen. And half these scriptures don't even mean what you think they do until you sit down and talk to them, and they got the scrolls. They got the scrolls. Praise be to God. Amen. But here we are. We're on Book of Acts. Why? Because we're about to enter Pentecost. And what happened on the day of Pentecost? But you don't see the word here is the word that we're about to give you. Book of Acts chapter 2. Title, Jubilee. Come on. Subtitle, Starting of New Life for His People. And that's what it is. For you that don't know about a word Jubilee, it was a time of restoration. It was a time of debt freedom coming. In other words, if you had land and you had you know, like most of us have mortgages and all that, like we have here on this place. And we're believing God for a miracle. Come on, say amen. We're believing God's going to send someone or send it however they like, however he likes, to send it down that we don't have to be concerned with payments no more, that we can do other things that are needful, right, for the future that's coming. Hello, somebody. We're believing. And Jubilee represented that at that point, debt freedom came. Come on. So we believe for debt freedom every day. See, you don't want to hear this, but I'm telling you, the Bible says, oh, man, nothing. That's kind of hard because we have mortgages, we have car payments, credit card payments. Credit cards, amen. A trap that traps you for a long time. But in the book of Leviticus, you'll read all of this. It was a time of slaves being freed. How many know we're free? Come on, we just talked about freedom, right? Freedom here. But we also talked about healing. How many know healing's here? Come on, how many believe healing is here? Oh, help me here, Jesus. So here we are about to celebrate the day of Pentecost because it was 50 days. There's that number, 50 days. We're also in the fifth month, right? And if you know under the will of God in numerology, according to the biblical term set, the fifth number represents our freedom. This is why it's time. It's time to receive from your minds. How many minds mess with you? How many know that the enemy knows how to mess with you? How many of you continuously look back in life and past life, whether it was good, because sometimes it looks better back there than it does here, which is a lie if you're in Christ, right? Or we look at it because it was bad. And that's when oftentimes we repeat the badness when we're supposed to be set free. Say amen, somebody. You're supposed to say, I am free. No, you don't believe it. I'm free. I want everybody out there to know I'm free. This is what we're going to celebrate because at the time of the 50th day after the resurrection of our Christ became a time that represents the word Jubilee. Say Jubilee. And again, what is the interpretation or what is the definition? Liberation. My time of restoration. My time of rest. How many know we should have rest? I mean, you know, today's a day of rest. If we were to go on the sabbatical days that on the sixth day, then he rested on the seventh day. Come on. Biblically speaking, we're in the 6,000 year. We're 50 years. We're going to celebrate 250 years of America, right? We're 50 years away from reaching the fullness of the 6,000 year since the creation of Adam to now. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, I don't want to argue with people, but I've been hearing that Jesus is coming since the day I was saved, 45 years ago. Come on. And I've learned to live saved today and hope for tomorrow. Come on. And if he comes, I'm good, but I'm at a point, don't come because not everybody's saved, Lord. Please don't come. I have people I've been wanting to see come to his side of Calvary. Come on. And so now here we are. Book of Acts. How many believe in the Holy Spirit of God? How many have received the Holy Spirit of God? I'm talking about how many have received the Holy Ghost. Come on. We have talked about this. We talk about it. You hear it. But now it's time that we put it in the rightful position that brings our life under the term Jubilee. Come on, say amen. Because the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 1, King James Version, book of Acts chapter 2, verse 1. A little backwards there, giving the whole ahead of my God. Holy Spirit, have your way. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, which is coming on the 24th or the 26th of this month. 50 days have already approached us and are approaching. They were all in one accord in one place. You know how hard it is to get the church in one accord? Everybody has a philosophy. Everybody in their mindset has a different thought. Everybody in the mindset that reads the Bible has a different interpretation. Everybody in our world that when you want to talk of the Bible, and I'm going to tell you, do not look at the History Channel to get any knowledge of the Bible. Because they don't have the knowledge that God gives only to you as this person. Because you are his people. Come on. You are the ones that are supposed to be able to teach anyone in this world who is God. What is this world about? What time are we in? It's time for a cup of coffee. That's what time it is. Come on. We do it for free. And they were all in one accord in one place. Look at this is what I can't. You know what we fight here? We got so many churches, and every church thinks they're right. Come on. Every church thinks it's right. And then you got those, you know, you got the small ones, and then you got the mega ones, and then you got in the between ones. Come on. And they believe because it's a mega church, it's the right one. And the small one thinks they're the right ones, and the medium ones think they're the right ones. So in our mindset, who is right? Who is wrong? But what you're going to have to learn is it doesn't matter the size of the church. It doesn't even matter of the works, because the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, the third chapter, because the mega church, the Laodicean, the last day church, is doing a wonderful work out there, but they're cold. Gee, the word of God says, I don't know you. But that's got to hurt, but Jesus said that. Jesus said, the day is coming, and you're going to say to me, I've done this, I've done that, we went here, we've done this, we went that way, and this way, we fed the poor, we visited you in the prison, we went door to door, we took care of the homeless, we went to the sick, we took care of the widows, we got the orphans, and Jesus stated, but I don't know you. That one struck me when I read that. What do you mean you don't know these, God? What are you saying to us? And now in the book of Revelation, it is written that this was going to be happening in the last days. See, the last days. The last day church. They're going to be doing great works. Read chapter 2 and 3. Actually, read 1, 2, and 3 of Revelation. And you're going to see what he says. And you can't be afraid of it. Say amen, somebody. You need to get in a place with your God, your Father in heaven, and make sure that you are right in line with His will. Come on, because His will be done. Isn't that what Jesus said? My will, but that's the problem. We have a will. We're at a time when we want to be seen and heard, but we're not here to be seen and heard. We're here that He be seen and He be heard. Come on, people want power. They like the power. They want. I am sorry. We have separated God's presence and God's word that we're about to read here. We separated him that in his giftings, say his giftings. Come on, in his will and his power. We have separated his giftings and put him to categories, and there's no such thing. There's no such thing. I'm in a deliverance ministry. I said, I'm in a healing ministry. I go, different spirits? Different callings? And you're going to find out, no, there's only one calling. There's only one Spirit. There's only one baptism, because there's only one God. And if you know the will of God and you understand what we're about to read and you're walking in that, God's Spirit will operate at will for every individual. Meaning today we may walk in the spirit of healing, but tomorrow it's not going to be the same. But we like to get stuck on areas, which I call stuck on. Can't say the word. Stupid. Show me where Jesus did all of that. Where he separated. He didn't come on this earth and say, I'm in the deliverance ministry today. I'm in the salvation plan only today. Come on, he went, and whatever the need was, he took care of the need right there and then. He didn't need to go and say, I need to go pray about it. He didn't say, go into the prayer room that somebody can pray for you. Come on. He just took care of business right there, right now. Because he's a right now God. And faith is operating because faith is now. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. Faith is moving right now, right here, as we're speaking to you. We're believing by faith that this word is going to go forth, because we're in a season and it's a time of freedom. It's a time of restoration. It's a time of trusting in God. It's a time that we must come to a place and let the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, come forth, rest on us, and preach this gospel that will bring healing, that will bring the existence of the truth of Almighty God, because His church is mighty and powerful. And it's not above, and it's good that we have works, but without faith, it's dead. Well, faith without the works is dead. Jesus says, I'll show you my faith by my works. Come on. And if you read about him, he just spoke the word. Those that had faith that weren't even saved said, you just speak the word, because they saw his ability. Come on. And of course, we had the doubters out there, right? At the end of the road, doubting Thomas, poor guy. Hey, I doubt. I would doubt too. I doubt when, you know, you got to fight doubt, because he just saw the death of the one that he saw miraculously raise people from the dead. When's the last time you saw somebody raised from the dead? Well, when's your born again date? Mine's December 12, 1980. I was raised from the dead. I'm a new creature from that moment on. Come on. We're going to celebrate it in December. I celebrate my birthday. I celebrate who saves me. We sang a song, how he loves me. Some of us don't understand. He really loves us. Come on. So here we are in one accord. Hard to get us in one accord. Get all your minds. Look up here. Get off your phones. Stop reading the word. Nobody told you to read a word ahead of it. See, your disobedience is being shown to Almighty God, because God has one speaker for you to listen to. You don't, you know, and this is how he operates. He operates in obedience, never disobedience. And so for us to become who God has called us on a daily lifestyle, daily living, daily that he calls us to live, say amen, daily for us to believe that this is the day that the Lord has what? Well, you're supposed to be rejoicing and be glad in it. Are you glad that he woke you up this morning on a May gray day that's standard, and it's your only day off, and you're tired from the week, and he told you to get up, go to my house, give me a praise, give me the glory, and watch what I'll do for you after the fact. But you know, we fight because we're human. Say, we're human. We fight what God says. And they come. You need to become in one accord. I don't care where you all come from. You're all different. Come on, say amen. That's why I don't care about color. I don't care where you came from. I don't care if you're rich or poor. I tell the richest guy to the poorest guy the same stuff. Same thing. If you die today, are you going to heaven? That's what counts. I don't care how much money, because money can't buy you. But money buys you sorrow. I'll tell you, sorrow comes when you start getting blessed. Especially when it's God's people getting blessed. And it's amazing how many times God's people wants the discounts. Never want to pay the price. Come on, in the business world, I understand it very well. Hello? But and then verse number 2, and suddenly there came a sound. You should know this. How many are born again this morning? How many have been born again more than 1 month? You should know this. And suddenly there came a sound from where? Heaven, as the sound of rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Come on, listen to this. When God's in his house, he touches everybody, not just one. But why everybody won't be touched is because we're not all in one accord. Hello, have you ever seen healing ministries go out there like the Benny Hinn's? I've been watching them from way back. A.A. Allen, most of you probably don't even know who he is. These are the tent revivalists. Oral Roberts, come on. R.W. Shambach, Morris Cirillo, these are my mentors. Most of you don't even know they exist, but they were mighty men of God. Powerful, used by the Almighty Savior himself, but had fights, the fight of their life at the end. They had to fight sickness. They had to fight the diseases. That everything they were used by God to do came up challenged them now. And hospitalized. Fighting a good fight. Say amen. What do you think the church was saying? What would you think? Because you think it now without realizing it. Oh, he must have done something wrong. He must have been doing things he shouldn't be doing. Because that's how the church thinks. Come on, say amen. Okay, God, you saw their hearts. I don't care. To me, I don't care. I care of what you should be doing in the time that God has called you. And I don't care if you got a rich bank account or no bank account. God's going to judge you not on your bank account, but he's going to judge you on your obedience. No, you're not here. Anyway, you know the story. And verse number 3, and they appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to, and here comes the controversy, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Come on, somebody. So if you say you're filled, you got the Holy Ghost, you better let me know by you telling me, not showing me, that you have another language already inside you coming forth. And if you don't believe me, Paul said, I speak more than you all speak. And he was a religious man, never spoke that language before until he was knocked off his high horse. Some of us need to get knocked off our high horse. Come on. When we were in the world, we got knocked off our high horse. I'm out there begging for my life. Big tough Albert Aguilar off the streets of Corona. Big toughy crying out, I don't want to die. I heard about you. I don't believe in you. But if you don't, I will. And I did. He did. Here I am. He filled me. He gave me a new language. Come on, say amen, somebody. And I can use that language at any given time. I can go, Priya, si, kondoloroba, shijile, kisidri. You don't know what he said, unless the gift of tongues and interpretation is following. That's the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm not going to tell you where. You should know that, some of you. But I'm telling you, why am I telling you? Because Jubilee, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, brings your Jubilee into existence on a daily basis. Say daily. Because daily, I want to be restored. Say amen. Because I mean, you know, sometimes we're out in this world, and some of us on that freeway are giving some thoughts that shouldn't be thought. Statements that shouldn't be said. I can't even say the word dung in a natural word. Sugar, honey, iced tea. Thank God for Madagascar. I said, oh, I could do that. Because I felt dirty if I said it in the natural sense of humanity. And we got humanity, we got people in the church 20, 30 years saying the word left and right. Like, you have some respect. Show me where Jesus said that. Jesus in his word talks about dung. Say dung. He talks about the hill of dung. You know what that means? Come on, somebody. If you ever had a healthy dog, come on, say amen. And it's you got to go do your duties. Boy, you Maximus, boy, you're a big boy. Come on. I can't even say the word. I won't even say the female dog word. Come on, you know what the female dog word is. And it's not even a bad word, but I can't say it because I feel dirty. I feel like I've done something to my God, because he doesn't speak to us that way. He speaks to us in a way that is so pleasant, so loving. Come on, help me here, Holy Ghost. I'm going to fill with the Holy Ghost. You can say amen in this church. You got to realize what we're doing. All we're filled, not some. All we're touched, because it's the will of God that we all be touched this morning. Come on, somebody. Going to the Gospel of John real quick, like the 14th chapter. Let's figure out a little bit here. You know, I've been doing a lot of things. We've done a lot of mountain experiences with different churches. How many know what that means? We have men's advance. Men's retreat. It wasn't a retreat. It was church for men. Because men need to be spoken to down and dirty. Because God knows your thoughts. God knows your ways. Let me tell you what I talked on one time. And it really, I thought it's going to annoy the people. I had to talk to all these guys. And we take our youth. We allow our youth to go. Come on, say amen, youth guys. Right? Usually their dads are there. And I had to touch on a subject that we don't talk about in church. But God let me know we have a masturbation problem here. You know what that means? Self-gratification. You know what that means? You do that, you're defiling your body from the will of God. And guess what, ladies? You're not exempt. Ooh, Pastor, you're talking dirty. No, I'm talking rated X, the cross. Are you here? You didn't say amen. You can say amen. That means you agree. So if you don't agree with me, that's fine. Read the Bible for yourself. Look up defiling the temple of God. Paul says, don't you know you are the temple of God? Don't you know I purchased you and it's my body and I put my spirit in you? Do not defile it. I'm paraphrasing the word because I can. Hello, somebody. This is why when I have a bad thought, I have to repent. Because I'm normal. I'm human, right? You know you want to cuss out a lot of people. You know you want to slap somebody sometimes. And then my slapping will be good to wake up. Hello, look at the time we're in. Why are you not hearing the Spirit of God? Why are you not listening? God's trying to restore you. He's trying to rise up in you. Because today may be our last day on this earth. And then it's too late. Say too late. When it's too late, it's late. As long as you have breath, we have abilities. But I'm at a funeral, they can't hear you. Don't tell them you love them. You should have told them when you loved them when they were alive. When's the last time you told the one you loved them? Oh, because today's love is conditional. You do as I say and you buy me what I want. I love you. Thank God he's not that way. You're not going to hear this in the big churches because they need your money. Hello? I don't care how much works you do. We've done more work than most people will do. We still will. We come out here and do yard work because I'm taking care of God's house. Come on, say amen. Not that we can't afford it. We're just doing something new. And we just bought a new toy, by the way. It's so new, it hasn't been used yet. I'm waiting for it to be used. It was right there. I don't know where it disappeared to. But here we are, going to the Gospel of John. Why? Because we're in Jubilee moment. We're in a time where the Spirit of God already came, already filling the people of God. And those that received never went back. Never failed. Never did what we call backsliding. They all went forward and it cost them their lives. They were all martyred for doing the truth. The truth sets me free. How many agree? But what is the truth? Well, let's keep on going. Okay, let's look at John chapter 14. Let's go verse number. I'm in chapter 1. Oh my God. Give me a chapter 14, verse 1. This is what I want. I got it backwards. I'm going to start with this. Because God's going to speak to some of you right now. If you are spirit-filled, but you don't have the tongue ability, I would go ask God, what happened? Because he didn't fail. We failed. It's called the spirit of fear lied to us. It's called to the preachers that are falsely speaking out there that it is not for today. When it is, you say, and he warns you, do not add to my word and do not take away from my word because you don't know this living God. Read the book of Revelation, not unless you have the spirit of God that will draw you there and begin to teach you. Because he's not coming right now. He's going to do a calling right now. How many know what that means? The dead in Christ shall rise first, and them that are alive and caught up at the sound of Thessalonians. We're going to come on Wednesday night. We're breaking the word down. Minister John is doing it. We're in that book right now where you're going to hear this on chapter 4 about the rapture. There's no such word. I know, but the rapture actually means catching away. He's not coming. He's calling you. And you have to have an ear to hear that call. Come on. But if your life is so busy, you can't hear him. How many can spend more than an hour with God? A five-minute prayer? Fine, thank you. Start with 5 minutes. But if that's all you have, I'm sorry. The devil going to run you over. He going to slap you silly. Come on, help me here. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Come on, we know the fights we've had to fight, right? It says on verse number 1 of chapter 14, King David, let not, put my instead of yours. Let not my heart be troubled. Right? Watch, we're not done here. You believe in God. Hello, somebody. Believe also in me. How many know that he was God, being in the form of Son? It was really him on earth. I would have loved that time. I see God, because we can't see him right now because his radiance will kill us. That's why he told Moses, you can't see me, Moses, as much as you desire. That's the right desire. I want to see God. You should all want to see God. I want to see him. I'm preparing to be with him. Come on, say amen. I'm preparing my life, living my life, sacrificing whatever needs to be sacrificed. For I want to see God. Why? Because he did what nobody else could do. He loved me for who I was, not what I can be. Done. Come on. And you don't know who we were in the streets of where we came from. We were up on the streets. They knew our name. So did the police. But he rescued me. Let me tell you, you don't know this. He rescued me. 1 week prior, when he rescued me, 1 week later, they were coming to arrest me. How do you know, Pastor? Because God is so good that 7 years later, I'm in management, running business, and the detectives coming to my business where I'm at. And I ran a dealership. Come on, I'm a big dealership there. And I'm running it, and I see them coming because I knew them by name. They were police officers at one time, kept bugging me. But, and here they are, the detectives, and they're coming right to me. And what does my great salespeople do? They point exactly where I'm sitting. I love people, right? Oh, there's a pastor over there. Oh, what can I, instead of saying, what can I do for you? Why do you need to see the pastor? Because you got the same ability that I have. Say amen. You're coming to kill me. It's okay. Can't kill what's already dead. Needed to say, because they needed to tell me three things, and one of the three things they told me is that the day you gave your heart to Christ, we had you on 10 to 15 year indictment because we arrested your number one worker. You don't tell people like us that kind of information because you don't know who we know that we still know. Come on. And guess what? They're in church now too. Why? Because I had to face them. You don't separate except by death on these kind of positions. Hello, you don't know who we were. But I know who I am. Come on. I might invite him one. I'm going to invite him to our barbecue. And I know you're all going to judge him. But when you look into his eyes, you can see that I'll kill you right here, right now. I don't care. Because he'll say, you need to give your life to Jesus. So you need to die. You understand this term? And so they told me, I said, you don't tell me the name. Why'd you tell me the name? Because I'm going to pray for him now. Come on, say amen. And my 10-year to 15-year turned on him, and he had to go do the time. Because we're saved. We got delivered. We got sanctified the day he saved us. Come on, we got rid of everything. We forgave every debt. We separated ourselves. We don't no longer deal with those, work with those, talk with those, go anywhere with those. We separated ourselves because the Spirit of God got real in our lives. Amen. We know where we came from. Better yet, we know where we're going. Most churches don't understand what heaven's all about yet. Hello? I'm going to be with my wife. No, I better read the Bible. You better read the Bible. You're not going to be worried about that. You're going to be worshiping that one that created us. Come on, say amen. So he goes on to say about who? Let not your corazón be what? Your heart. Don't let your heart be troubled. But most of you fight trouble. You're fighting. No, my heart's good. No, you're not. If you got finances in your head, if you're worried about the stock market, if you're worried about tomorrow, what you're going to wear, all of those are the things against God Almighty. Come on. Because he said, don't do that. Don't worry. Trust me. I feed the birds, don't I? Come on. I feed the sparrows, he says. It okay, the word of God. I'm sorry. I'm trying to help. Trust in me. Come on. Hard thing to do. Especially when you got notes due, right? Car payments. It's a funny thing when we get a raise, how much in debt we get into. You know, the bigger the raise, the more debt. Hello. It should be the bigger the raise, the less, more paid debt I do. Because the Bible says that he don't want us to owe nobody. Oh, but you don't want to hear that because we're in a credit happy time. Hello. Come on. Are you here? So don't let your heart be troubled, right? Because if you believe in God, you got to believe in Jesus. How many believe in Jesus? Same chapter, though. Let's go. You got to read it and understand it. Read it. We got so many versions. You can actually read it and get some kind of revelation. But honestly, you got the best revelator in you, living in me. I got Jesus living. This is an old school song. We don't sing today because we're so contemporary. If we don't pat you on the back, you're going to leave us. Come on. But in our day, I got Jesus living in me. Come on. How many can say that? I got Jesus living in me. Come on. I'm not just under salvation. He's in my heart. Come on. He's speaking daily to us, often throughout the whole day. Sometimes you're talking to me, but I'm listening to him. Because he's saying they're lying to you. That's not no devil, because I got my armor on. Oh, help me here, Jesus. Same book, though, right? Let's go down a little bit further. Because what we started with, right, Jubilee, baptism of the Holy Ghost, we call it, right? Spirit-filled with evidence, speaking another language. All of you have. You got the Holy Ghost. It's in you. You're just afraid to let it go because you think it's you. It'll never be you. And I'm going to tell you, without this Spirit, you can't do what you want to do. Demons don't bother you because they're not afraid of you. But when the Holy Ghost is truly in you and they're speaking tongues, yeah, hell breaks loose against you. Come on. He'll let you prosper because he's got you. Come on, say amen, because all you care is what people think and look at you with. Hello? I got a mansion in heaven. I don't need a mansion in heaven. I need a mansion here on earth, right? No, I don't even need that because we can't even keep up the house we have now. Hello, we're both. How many husbands and wives are gone from the home now? How many husbands and wives are home in our world right now? Not our world. Let's just use our country. Okay, forget that. Let's just use California because we're the highest tax state in the nation. And we still vote for the silly ones to keep taxing us. I don't get it. And I thank God I'm not into that. I have a king that serves me what I need. Say amen. But we're in a place that we don't understand what God is trying to tell his people because we're so caught up. We're in the world and we want to be of the world, but we don't need to be of the world to be heard by God. That they can see God in us. Hello. Same book, 17th verse. Look at this. We're talking about the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, on verse number one, don't let your hearts be troubled. Your hearts are troubled because you thought you said you had the Holy Ghost. But if you have the Holy Ghost, we're going to read its office now. We're going to read what it really does to operate in us, say us. And that doesn't mean, and I'm going to tell you right here, it doesn't say you had to have the title. The fivefold ministry. How many know what the fivefold ministry is? Apostle, right? They all say the thumb because the thumb is the only one that can touch all other fingers. The prophet, number two, right? Number three, evangelist, right? Number four, a pastor. Number five, a teacher. The fivefold ministry calls out there. Come on. And understand the difference of all of them, but we're not here to talk about that. Not today. But it goes on in verse number 17. Even the Spirit of... it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. Because there's only one Spirit that comes from God. It came down like a flame of fire. That's why you see the flames of fire on the dove, right? So on pictures of those that have it on there. We have it, but ours is fire from the cross coming up because it's in us now. We're coming up because we believe in the cross. Say amen, somebody. He's not on the cross. How many know that? He's not on that cross. He paid the price one. Hello? Even the Spirit of truth. Come on, I'm trying to wind this down. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Listen, stop trying to beg the world to receive what it cannot, will not accept ever. Say ever. The Spirit of truth. They're not going to accept the Spirit of truth. They're not going to accept you. You're trying to win favor when there's only one that provides favor. And I thank God for the favor of God this morning. Say amen, somebody. Listen, I know where I'm going with this. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. That's us. You got to be careful because we could be in the world. Because it sees him not, neither knoweth him not. but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. I'm going to tell you what. You say you got the Holy Ghost, your evidence better be showing. If it doesn't, guess what? It's not the Spirit of truth. I don't know what you have. I'm just here to protect you. I'm just here to try to get you to your place of location. You need to ask for it. You need to tell God, send it to me, and he'll send it to you. He's going to give it to you because it's for his children. Why? Because it has a work to do. Say a work to do. Come on, say amen. It's hard to accept this sometime. And then he goes on, verse number 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And how many know we need comforting? Not only in the times of lost loved ones or separations of love, we have a lot of comforting we need because you're out there doing your best, striving to do what's right for God, and nobody, all they keep doing is kicking you, slapping you in a sense. How many know what I'm saying? Nobody can see what you are facing. But Almighty God says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to come to comfort you. Because if you do my will, I'm going to do your will. Come on, help me here, Spirit of God. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Say, come to me. He's going to come to me. Now, on the same verse, same chapter, let's go down a little further. I'm not going to read all of it. You can go back and read it all, and it's good that you read it all for yourselves. It's good that you learn to read daily your scriptures, because I don't know about you. So I know some of you don't believe in fasting, but you need to learn fasting. The problem is you believe in it, but not in the way God asked you to believe in it. You won't read his word, so you're fasting from his word, and that's the worst fast you could ever find yourself in. Because without this word, you won't be victory. Live a victorious life. I'm sorry. Because it's going to go down to verse number 26. Same book, same chapter. I'm going to try to close you out with this. Because how many know we're in our freedom time? Come on. We're in a great 4 years right now because of the new president, apparently they're saying. But we've been, I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but being saved 45 years, we had a great life every year of our life, no matter who was president. Come on. People lost their homes during the recession that we had. We didn't lose our home. Nobody in my church lost their home. In fact, people in our church at that time were being well taken care of. Come on, if you were of my church back then, you could say amen. Hello? I still have my house. Amen. And we had just bought it. And I worked for God, nobody else. No, I didn't work no man. My wife was carrying a lot of our load because she was being with Kaiser, you know? Verse 26, but the Comforter, here it comes, because he says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Come on. Which is the, hello, you can say the word, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall what? He's going to teach me some things. It's only for the apostles. It's only for the prophets. It's only for the evangelists. It's only, no, the pastors. It's only for the teachers. No, it's not. It's for everyone that he sends his Holy Spirit, called the Holy Ghost, into. As you called on your salvation plan, as you called on the will of God, as you've been standing firm and accepted. But sometimes you're never going to get to the place because the church ain't telling you what you need to do. Because once it comes in you, you're never going to be the same. He's going to open your eyes like you've never seen them open. He's going to do things for you that you've never seen done before. The Comforter, which the Holy Ghost, verse number 26 again, whom the Father shall send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So without reading of the Word of God, studying the Word of God, there's no way that the Holy Spirit of God can bring out of you what you haven't deposited into you. And this is why in the book of Acts, you're going to read about the 8th or 9th chapter after being filled with the Holy Ghost, Peter, Paul, and Peter and all the apostles, and then along came Saul and Paul. And then someone saw Paul the apostle doing what he was doing, and there was a father with his sons that were kind of religious, but wanted to saw the things of God, wanted to do the things of God, but didn't want to pay the price to get the things of God. Called the seven sons of Sceva. 8th or 9th chapter, I can't remember off the top. It's there. And they went out there and they said, in the name of Paul's God, we command you, devil, to come out. And if you know the story, and this is it. Jesus I know. Paul I know. But I don't know you. Come on. See, the devil knows if you're from God or not. Hello, somebody. You can be in church all your life. He still may not know you. Come on. These were all in line with being in church. Say in church. But never received the salvation plan. Never did the works I needed to do to rise up to mature in the things of God. Never was set in a place to be taught to rise up. We're to be taught to be sent. Oh, Jesus. I got so many people that said, I'm your pastor. You're never going to be my pastor. My pastor taught me and went home to be with the Lord. And then the mantle fell on us. And here we are years later. Come on, help me here, somebody. And I want you to know we have seen things of God. We know the things of God. We understand the will of God. And one thing we will tell you right now, we have not arrived yet. We don't know everything. Every day brings a new revelation. Every day brings something that God will just open and enlighten you. It is amazing. Why? Because the Comforter has been sent. We have received it. We have the evidence of it. We can turn it on or we can shut it to be silent. Come on. As Paul the Apostle says, I believe I speak more tongues than most of you. Because when I'm in my car, I'm speaking in tongues. When I'm alone, I'm speaking in tongues. I'm doing yard, whatever, study, I'm speaking in tongues. Lord, help me here. And if you don't know this, it begins to bring revelation to you. And it's a scary place to have revelation, right? Why? Because he's going to bring us into remembrance of all things that he said to us. And verse 27, in closing with this verse, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives you. It's not this two letters, these two fingers. I mean, it's not peace. Come on, peace out, bro. That's tiptoeing through the tulips kind of peace. That kind of peace was love, drugs, alcohol, no work. Come on. Oh, some of you don't know those days. Thank you, Jesus, you don't. Peace I give, I leave you again. With you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There's that fear again. Let it be afraid. Right now we have so much fear going around in our world. That fear, that propaganda they call it, the news constantly speaking it. Hello, somebody. The church is starting to talk about it at times, causing a division in the political realm, which I don't care about the political realm. I don't care where you come from or what you color you have or what you believe. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you're a Democrat, a liberal, Green Party, Red Party, Yellow Party, Blue Party. It doesn't matter to me. But what matters to me, no matter where you are or come from, if you believe on things that God says don't believe in, you're not from God. I'm sorry, I can't hang out with you. Come on. Well, Jesus sat with the publicans. He sat with them to teach them the word for a day, one day. He had a dinner with them. I've had dinner with all my workers of the world. I'll communicate occasionally with them. Come on. Because they want to know if I'm still in the church. I said, yeah, you're still in the world. And then I can look at you and they can look at me. Come on, help me here, somebody. They see my peace. I said, yes, because I have peace from God. Well, you're not here. In the many times of the Spirit of God moving, and many times we've been in the mountains, I've been in the mountains, I don't know how many times of years up here in the mountains doing retreats, I was telling you earlier. There was this pastor there that came in to speak. He gave a decent message, because a lot of people can speak decent messages. In fact, today I'll tell you, hey, I give you a decent message if you want one. You don't even have to do any studying no more, but the Bible says study to show yourself approved. So if you're not studying, that enemy is going to talk to you. He's going to lie to you. He needs you to be sat down and taught. Come on, help me here, somebody. Anyway, we were up there and we let him speak. And at the end of the speaking, we always opened it up for prayer. Come on. And all these men would come up for prayer. And on half of these are gangsters, mind you. And, you know, there's a way you got to pray for the gangster. How many know what that means? You know what a gangster is, right? It's somebody that wants to be loved. Somebody that never had attention. Somebody that doesn't understand what love really is. They don't understand this. That's why our prisons are full, because most of those are unloved or single parenting. Most of them. Come on. But we love them all, and we opened it up, and we asked the pastor of the hour, the anointing's on you. The giftings is moving. We cannot gift until you release it. And he had no idea what to do because he never prayed for nobody. And he has a good church today still. I said, go pray for them. You start that, we follow. Because that's order in the house of God. He didn't know what to do. So I said, okay, this is not my event, but I partake. Come here, brother. Come here, pastor. Come here. I laid my hands on his stomach. I said, release that spirit of God in him. Come out forth, Holy Spirit of the living God. Give him the language that you gave him, that he can lay hands on these people. And next thing you know, it just went in. It caught him, put him on the ground, and he got up. Didn't pray for nobody because he didn't believe in it. And today, it's a huge church in our state. Come on. But the Spirit of God moved anyway. Hello, are you listening, church? Jubilee has been sent to us that I don't have to wait 50 years no longer. Prior to that, it was you had to wait 7 years times 7 years, which equals 49 years. Not the team, by the way, that brought 50 the following year, which brought all that I said to you that I've been preaching to you that came in the New Testament. It's called your freedom, your comfort, my restorer, my rest, my trust. That trust puts you to believe God today. Say amen, somebody. Are you here? Come on, stand to your feet. Praying for you. You know.